moderator. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, we welcome you to the Bajaj Electricals Limited Q1 FY22 earnings call. To discuss the results from the management side, we have Mr. Anuj Poddar, Executive Director, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, Chief Financial Officer. Without taking much of your time, I will now request sir to give his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. This is Anuj Poddar. Thank you for joining us today for this earnings call. I want to start by putting the headlines, and then I'll share some data. As you know, this has been a tough quarter for everybody in terms of being COVID impacted and with lockdowns. Number two, on issues around commodity costs, et cetera. That said, we continue to maintain our strategic direction and improve on that on all fronts, and I will talk about that a little more. On growth, we are happy with our top-line numbers in terms of direction and our consumer business. On bottom line, I know there's a lot of questions, particularly on consumer products. Couple of headlines from me there. Number one, there's reasons for the bottom line on consumer products. I'll take you through that. There are various one-time costs and/or non-comparable items there. That's why optically it looks that way. We are not really, as we take you through that, you will understand why that looks that way, and it is not as much a matter of concern. Number two, we are very confident, Q2, Q3, and on a full year basis, we will bounce back. The direction on that remains intact with what we've been guiding earlier. We are not really, we remain as confident on that part. Additionally, I'll talk to you about the cash flow and debt and balance sheet situation, which again continues to deliver with our guidance and trajectory that we've been maintaining so far. Quickly, on our headlines on specific numbers, et cetera, you've all got the financials. I believe the first filing that happened online on exchange, there was some visibility issue on the font in some cases. That has been uploaded just for your information in case some of you have not gotten it. That's been corrected in terms of on both exchanges. That said, I will not repeat all the numbers since we have access to that. A few headlines on our consumer products. Rather, let me say overall growth for this quarter has been 41%, in which our consumer products growth has been 56%, from 395 crores to 617 crores. Keep in mind, this is a fans and cooler quarter where we're not leaders, and typically Q2, Q3 is better for us. Given our position in the various segments, we are fine with this growth. We think we've done fairly well. Coming to consumer products EBIT, which seems flat, and which is where we've been getting some questions. That is net of many one-off or non-comparable items. I will walk you through some of the specific items for you to understand what are the cost elements that have gone into this. Number one, as we've been saying for the past couple of years, our consumer products business revenues have been going up, and our EPC business has been staying flat or in some cases going down. Therefore, our proportionate share of consumer revenues to total company revenues has been increasing. As a part of that, every year we re-look at the allocation of common unallocated support or fixed costs between the two segments. To that extent, we've had an incremental allocation of overheads of 12 crores that have moved from the EPC segment to the consumer segment for reporting. That's point one. Point two, in this quarter, we've increased our publicity spends. Last year, Q1 was 14 crores. This year is 29 crores. There is an incremental 15 crores spent on publicity. This we maintained is strategically important for us on our journey. This comes to about 4.7% of our consumer sales this quarter. We are happy to be at a variance on this versus competition because we think strategically long-term, this is important. I've been calling that out, that we will not shy away from investing in our brand for the next couple of years to dress up a short-term quarter performance. Number three, there is what I would call a one-time or non-comparable cost. We've been transitioning our logistics, outsourcing our entire 3PL to Mahindra Logistics, as you're aware, over the last couple of quarters. Some of that transition that's been happening on a phased manner across various warehouses and geographies across India. This quarter was supposed to have a transition of our single largest central warehouse in North India, which is a bulk of our, or the centerpiece of our own logistics. That transition was delayed because of the COVID, and therefore there's been a fair amount of period in this entire quarter where we had double rental cost and not transition as per the original plan. That was unavoidable, and because of that, because of double warehousing and as a resultant, you know, suboptimal transportation management on this and double movement of goods, we've had an incremental cost of 5 crores on this logistics front. This will start, the way we are seeing current logistics transition, by around mid-August, this will start normalizing. So in Q2, this will start coming down. In half of Q2, we'll start seeing the benefits of this logistics transition. So to that extent, we've had a 5 crore incremental over budget impact on logistics in Q1. Number four, you know, we paid out employee incentives in early July. This is as a reward for we've beaten our budgets last year financially and achieved highest ever profits. We had extra incentives payout, and to that extent, there's been a 3 crore incremental incentives cost built into the Q1 numbers. This will again normalize from Q2 onwards. Number five, we've had, we've had a commodity price impact. While we passed on part of that, not all of it was passed on in Q1. As per our internal calculation, we've had about a 3.2% impact on margins on FLM as a result of that, aggregating to about 19 crores. And I will take a question on this because I'm sure that will come as to how do we see that playing out over the coming quarters. If you add all of these items up, you know, I'll leave you to do the math on that. It adds up to a significant amount. I'm not saying all of it could be avoided. Some of this you can consider as business expenses or not. But a fair amount of this could have been considered as something I want to add back for seeing a normalized performance and on a full quarter basis. Lastly, of course, had you had 3 months of sales versus 2 months of sales that we've had. So because of these various reasons and seeing the trend lines in Q2, we remain as confident of delivering the coming quarters for the business and the trajectory will be maintained. We see this as a short-term thing. I had also shared, I think probably in March, in one of our investor interactions or media interactions, that there are short-term challenges. We will face those short-term challenges. But to counter the short-term challenges, we will not under-invest or shy away from doing what we're doing from a long-term perspective. That includes R&D spends, etc. So we will continue to incur and invest in these things. Okay, so that is to give a roundup of the quarter one consumer products business. Quick commentary on our EPC business. While the overall trajectory remains like we've been speaking, the loss has been coming down. The highlight there is EPC comprised three segments, illumination, power distribution, transmission, all of which were a drag on the company with losses in the past. Our illumination has turned around, so we are at break-even in this quarter in illumination business. And through the rest of the year, illumination will give us positive EBIT, and therefore that will only leave power distribution, power transmission that we continue to fix. So to that extent, strategically coming back to our strategic direction, we are now seeing a turnaround in illumination business as we've been working towards. Final couple of points I want to make is on our balance sheet and debt position. We have generated positive cash from operations of 39 crores in this Q1. So irrespective of the P&L view that you see, our focus on cash flow remains. And the fact that we've generated positive cash from operations points to the inherent strength of the operating business that we've been running, net of accounting of P&L entries. I would dare to say that we're one of the few companies that have generated positive cash from operations in this quarter. Lastly, on the debt position, our March net debt was about 425 crores, March exit. June 30th debt is 656 crores, so there is an increment. But keep in mind, this is after adding in the debt that we've inherited from Starlite as part of our merger transaction that was planned. We inherited about 215. That is 215 crores of debt of Starlite, and therefore this addition of debt is really pointing towards that. To that extent, we continue to actually fix that in a consolidated basis. And I'm going to, you know, now fast forward into giving a debt position as of 7th August, so you get a visibility into how we're fixing that and how our cash flow is trending. As on August 7th, our net debt, which was 656 crores on 30th June, is now down to 434 crores. That's by over 200 crores in these 37 days. And that points to both more efficient cash generation, and we are restructuring our working capital and credit terms, etc., to start optimizing this further to the advantage of the business. With that, we remain confident on our overall cash positions and debt and balance sheet trajectory for the rest of the year. Our guidance last year was that we will exit March 22 as a standalone Bajaj Electricals on a net debt-free position. We continue to hold that guidance. We've got an incremental debt in this Q1 from Starlite, as you're aware. We will also seek to repay some of that while we may not be repaying all of that. But we therefore remain confident and hold to all our guidance that we've given for this year on a full-year basis. So with that, I will take a pause and I will hand it back to the moderator for the questions and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So my first question is on margins of consumer products again. So at the start of the year, when we gave the guidance of almost flattish margins between 9 to 10% levels, did we price in the increased allocations coming in from the EPC business of nearly 12 crores? And this allocation is 12 crores on a quarterly basis, or how should we look at this number at the annualized base level? And in conjunction with this, if I can just add, given that 12 crores of corporate allocations are moved to consumer, which effectively means that even 13 crores of EBIT loss in the EPC business is technically then not a big improvement. It still continues to be under the water. So your comments on both of these would be awaited.
Yes. So, Renu, firstly, on the CP margins, you know, if I go back to history and then I'll come to current, we had spoken on 1% margin expansion every year, by which we should have been at 9% margin for this year, which is FY22. Okay. I'll always say that leave aside an odd quarter that tends to skew numbers. If we take the rest of the three quarters, we will deliver that 9%. We will internally aspiring to deliver 10%, given that we did that last year. Okay, that's number one for the remaining three quarters. This is after factoring in the increased allocation. So why I always remain yet slightly conservative on margin is because we know we are yet taking in our stride some of this incremental allocation that are coming. So actual margins improvement delta is much higher, but we're delivering this improvement after taking in some of those incremental allocations and our incremental spends on brand and R&D that is starting to kick in this year. So to short answer your question, yes, we will hold true to a 9% guidance that we've given for a 10% target that we're chasing for CP margin for the rest of the three quarters, 0.1. And that hopefully answers the second question also on the 12 crores for this quarter, but it will replicate itself through the rest of the year, but this a guidance on margin is after that. Your question on EPC margin, yes, it looks as if it was worse if one were to factor this in, but actually we had a one-time, again, you know, write-off of about 10 crores in the EPC also for some provisioning that we've done there, so that is yet net of that. So overall, we remain confident on EPC losses also continuing to shrink.
And this 10 crore provision pertains to cost overruns or receivables?
To receivables.
Okay.
And sure. Therefore, I would again divide that into cash versus non-cash. I don't know which one you prefer, but therefore the provision, not a cash cost. So to me, what is more important is to get the cash operating losses on EPC down to zero. So then, you know, at least we're not burning cash on that. We remain focused on that. And then, you know, some of these may be entries that we have to keep adjusting this. Keep in mind, one of the benefits is of getting the illumination business to turn around, because by Q3, Q4, once Illum is delivering profits, that will again start netting off. So on a net basis, we remain on a cumulative basis. That's why we remain positive on EPC exit this year.
Sure. The second question pertains to how are we looking at the broad-based demand outlook after the second wave of COVID? Is business now back to normal? And the various segments, both in terms of regions as well as segment-wise, if you can give some color in terms of performance for the first quarter.
Yeah. So number one, demand, I think, is fairly healthy. Q1 also, you've seen about a 50%+ growth in consumer over a similar two-month period over last year, maybe 6 weeks or 8 weeks versus 6 weeks of last year. Okay. That trend continues. It has become better in July, so we are seeing a demand uptick in July. Will that continue to Q3? I think it will. But last year, if you look at the graph, Q3 demand, you know, growth was even higher than Q2. Will that much stronger growth happen in Q3? I don't know. But 45 days into Q2, we are seeing a demand being buoyant and being strong. I think the challenge this year is more on the commodity cost side and, you know, pressures on that and therefore on the margins. So that's a separate part. I'm sorry, you had another part to your question here.
And the segment-wise, how was the performance?
Yes, segment-wise, so appliances in Q1 has grown 75%, fans has grown 49%, Morphe Richards has grown 85%, lighting within consumer, the way we report, is 12%, but if I consolidate lighting, which is B2C and B2B, which for us is illumination, but other companies reported together, then aggregate lighting growth is 86% for us.
Sure. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks, Anush.
Thank you, Rayleigh.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, we would like to request participants to restrict their questions to two during the initial round. We have the next question from the line of Achal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was, you know, with respect to other expense, if I see, you know, quarter or QOQ or YOY, we see the other expense didn't really much fall. So just wanted to get some color. Is there any, apart from the provisioning, is there any other one-off which we should be aware of in the other expense item?
Achal, just a quick question. Are you seeing total or segmental? Total, right?
Total other expense, actually. The reported other expense at standalone level at 173 crores.
At a company level. So two things I call out. One is brand. So brand has gone up from 14 to 29. Yeah. And then there's the EPC write-off that I spoke about. Actually, that operates at two levels, at a gross and net level. So there's actually a 20-plus crore provision that's come here, but that we get netted off in the top line. So you can assume a 10 crore net impact here. Okay, so that has come into the other expense line. If I take both of these items out, then the rest of it is pro rata increase in line with sales growth. These are the two that are disproportionate increases in the other expense. And the MLL, I used to look at our MIS, but I'm just trying to see the reported financial. So the other one-off that I mentioned, the logistics cost of 5 crores, the employee incentive, I just realized I forgot to mention one more one-off item, which is 2 crores of VRS cost or employee retrenchment cost at one of our factories. So all of these sit in the other expenses as a one-off or disproportionate increase.
This VRS cost is a part of standalone or consolidated?
Standalone. It's part of the standalone and therefore also a part of consolidated.
Understood. And secondly, if you could, you know, give us some sense about the gross margin part. You did mention 3.2 percentage point impact, but my question would be, you know, in terms of gross margins, how are they in FY21, and how do you see on a, you know, over next 3 years, what kind of improvement can we expect? And you know, with with respect to the total raw material cost inflation and the price increase we have taken.
So, you know, while we give out segmental gross margin, I'll give you a, you know, qualitative sense. Number one, our gross margins in this quarter are impacted because of the commodity price impact. Like I told you, in the 3.2% that we've not been able to pass on. But that's also because we've taken a staggered hike. We've taken a hike in May and June for certain categories, about 3% each. We have taken a further hike now in July in some categories of 3%, and effective 15th August that we're taking a further hike in the other categories about 3 to 4%. So between Q1 and Q2, by end of Q2, we will have normalized the gross margins to the normal levels. We are seeing the commodity, which had been continuing to be an uptrend, so there was a lag in passing on that, but commodity costs have now stabilized. So now the increase in price will actually go to the gross margin contribution. So by 15th August on our books, on our paper, but by, let's say, September, on terms of realization, we'll be back to normal full gross margin level that we used to operate at. So what you're seeing, that 3% that I spoke to you, is really lag effect, because while we were increasing prices, the costs were increasing with that lag. Was I able to explain that properly?
Yes, very much. Just a clarification. Yeah, if we were to look at the cumulative cost inflation at the at the segment level, what would that number be? In terms of in September or October of last year, cumulative, what is the RM cost inflation at the weighted average or at the segment level? Would that be upwards of 10-12%, or could that be 7-8%?
Let me total cost of goods sold, or gross cost level. I haven't done the math, but I'm just working backwards in my head. I think Q3 was about 3-odd%. Q4 was about 6-odd%. That's 9. This Q1 has been 6-odd%, of which we've taken 3%. So 9 plus 6, about 15%. So about 15% till date, of which we passed on about between 9 to 12%. Yeah.
Understood.
Therefore, because that's been a moving target, while we're passing on, that lag has been building in, the negative lag has been building into our margins. But as that cost is now flattening out, you will see the catch-up take us back to normal margins.
Understood. And just a clarification, you did talk about changes in the credit terms. Was it for the consumer product business? And if yes, so what is that change for?
So it is for the change. It has been entirely for the consumer products business. While we don't put that out publicly, we were, I think, to my mind, suboptimal and out of line with industry in terms of the credit period. It was shorter than what industry offers. So we've normalized that now in par with industry and created financial structures to enable, better working capital for us.
And it remains through channel financing. Is that understanding right? For the offline, the 100% is channel finance.
Yeah, but that's on the sales side. This I'm talking on the purchase side. So the sales side remains
on the purchase.
So purchase side, vendors we had very generous, which is short credit period that we were enjoying versus industry. So we started normalizing that, and that is now releasing working capital for us. And that is here to stay. So that's not going to go back. So that's not a one-off. Now this will be the trend, and therefore this cycle will continue as is.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll come in with you for more.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Amit Nahavar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Anuj.
Hi, Amit.
Hi. I have two quick questions, Anuj. Too many explanations on margins, and thank you for the clarity, but typically, if I take EPC, is it fair to assume that FY22 might still be in red for us? Because a lot of, despite your tracking, rigorous framework, a lot of things might be out of control. So first question is, FY22, largely EPC will be red. Is that a fair assumption?
So Amit, I've always maintained in the full year, we'll not be positive. We'll end the, we'll exit the year on a positive run rate. Okay. So you will have the visibility of a break even so that we are confident that FY23 will be break-even. Some of that gets pushed back and forth by a quarter because, again, Q1 was not planned for the EPC, whatever has happened because of, lockdown projects not getting executed. Q2 is a monsoon quarter. But you will see light at the end of the tunnel at FY22. So while full-year annualized aggregate may not be positive, you will exist so that you have visibility that FY23 will not have any losses from EPC.
Fair point. And just clarification, any learning from, so we've basically provided for some 10 crores in receivable, but how do we assure ourselves that, that sort of thing, does not repeat, or because that can be a bigger, because the retention is a large number, right, still. So any color on that?
Yeah, so as Anuj mentioned, this is not actually a cash outflow. We have made a provision based on a prudent view taken. Actually, we have already taken a provision of 16 crores on this in the month of March, but that was reflecting as a part of the gross margin, not as a part of the provision. Okay. Now, what we have done is since we are closing some of these projects, we moved this provision from the margin levels into the provision for doubtful debts. So that is the net impact of 10 CR. But having said that, it's not that we're accepting this as a hit. we continue to fight with our customers, but on a prudent basis, we have made this premium.
Amit, the other way, I'll add to this, you know, our total exposure continues to come down. You know, and let me share the receivables from our PD business, so which were 1388 crores as of March 20. It was 972 crores as of March 21. It is now 778 crores as of June 21. Okay. So number one, on a cumulative basis, we continue to bring that down. Number two, the biggest question for all of us has been the retention money, and will that come in? And now we started seeing, you know, when it's early days on certain projects, we started seeing that at least a couple of projects, we've got the retention money, which the last 10% in. That was a very important proof of concept for us, that having to go through that process of being able to, you know, complete all the documentation, paperwork, audit and release from all the agencies, whether state or central level, to get the last 10% in. Once we've got that, while these are on some of the smaller projects, we are more confident that, you know, the balance 10% on other projects will also come in the due course. So we do not see any significant or large hits coming because of this, even if they're non-cash in nature.
Fair point, Amit. Second question is on Starlight and Lamp. So typically in FY 22 and 23, how much will we commit in investments, and how are you are able to assure us that the returns on these businesses, you know, might not take more time? Thank you.
So again, first let me address Starlight, Amit. Fact is, like I've said earlier, Starlight has only moved from being a, you know, JV outside to becoming officially on our balance sheet because we have been guaranteeing their debt and therefore had been funding their losses in the past also pre-transaction. All that this transaction has done is made that more visible and transparent to everybody, and, you know, allows us to actually streamline that better and faster. Case in point being the debt of Starlight, now we, you know, refinanced that with much cheaper debt using BL balance sheet. So actually the consolidated effect on that, real impact on that on bottom line basis will be better than it was before, number one. Number two, it's allowing us to move better and faster on the operational side of Starlight. We, for example, you know, given our best ever output in July month on the Starlight production, etc. And that's what you'll start seeing. Operating synergies become much better and faster over the coming months on Starlight. Number three, on Inlamp specifically, while that was not directly being, you know, impacting us in the past, Inlamps is where we've had this VRS and retrenchment of people. That factory as on date is not operational. It is in shutdown. We are not sure whether that factory will restart unless it is viable. That's one of the reasons that we've had to go in for retrenchment of people. As a result of these, while these are one-time costs, these will, you know, result in reducing operating losses from the Inlamps factory in the future. Lastly, while we do not, you know, share too many details on that, there is land value and there are tax assets sitting in both Starlight and Inlamps. So on a consolidated basis, as post-transaction, over the coming few years, we're confident that we build in that inherent asset cost, both property and tax, we will overall be in a beneficial position, factoring in the purchase price also.
Thank you, Anuj. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, we would like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. So, sir, on the VRS, is the VRS completely over, or there will be more VRS-related expenses in Q2 and maybe Q3 also? That is question number one. Also, first reason I joined call slightly late, sorry, but what was the first reason you indicated for the one-offs? So I missed that. So if you can please indicate again. And and lastly, what was the growth in fans and mortgages that you indicated?
Okay. So firstly, on the VRS, this current VRS or retrenchment cost covers about 90 people in our Shikohabad plant. There are more people there, you know, right now. Secondly, there's another round of exercise that's being done at Ranjangaon in this Q2. So Q2 will factor in the impact of that exercise in Ranjangaon. Thirdly, to your question, will there be more of these? You know, obviously, we cannot put that out as management. You know, these are sensitive matters. But my only point of policy on that is that as a company, we will continue to review what you know, makes us viable in what is structurally sustainable. And while we are empathetic and want to continue with all our people and employees, where we believe that, you know, something is becoming unviable and we need to take certain calls in the interest of the organization and the rest of the employees, we will continue to take those calls. Not all of this can happen or would ever happen at one go, because the dynamics of each business, each factory and each unit are separate. And therefore, we take that up on a case-to-case basis as what is best interest of that unit or that factory on a short and long-term basis.
Okay, and what was the impact at Ranjangaon, if you can indicate if possible?
Not right now, since we've not disclosed Q2, but again, it will be similar to the crore numbers.
Okay, sure. So, and the first reason
at the point of understanding, sorry, on that, obviously we do our math on that, so over 2-3 years we stay off, but, you know, after that, it just makes you more efficient. So there's a certain payoff and a workman category that one has to do. But ultimately, these are designed to make us more efficient on an ongoing future basis.
Okay, sure. And the first reason that you indicated, that it shifted some business from...
So I'm not sure which one I said in what order, but there were, you know, various one-offs. I think a couple of initial ones that I mentioned, there was a increased allocation of common overheads of 12 crores that moved from the EPC segment reporting to consumer business reporting. So that's a part of, because our allocation every year we look at based on proportionate share of the revenues of each segment to total revenues. And as a consumer continues to, you know, increase and EPC is staying flat, that allocation is changing every year, the mix of that is changing. That's number one. Number two, I mentioned publicity. I don't know if it caught that, but I repeated publicity.
Yeah, so that I understood. So this was the only missing. And just the growth rate in fans and Morphe Richards?
Yeah. So one second. So fans has been 49% growth and Morphe Richards has been 85% growth. Morphe Richards,
okay.
I'll just take a, you know, 2 seconds again. In the past many years, we had been fairly flattish on Morphe Richards. But as you've seen from 2021, which is FY21, and now FY22 also, we started reporting very healthy double-digit growth in Morphe Richards. And we are very confident of actually driving that much more aggressively going forward.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Anirudh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rakesh Roy from Insec Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, my first question regarding...
Mr. Roy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my first question regarding your price increase. Maybe I missed, sir. Any price increase during the quarter or will you take in near future also?
So we've had a 3% price increase, some in May, some in June. But since May was mostly lockdown, in all cases, the impact has only come in about 25 days of this quarter post the June price increase, number one. That 3% is lower than most of competition, so we've had a follow-on price increase in some categories as of 1st July, and the balance categories we are intending to do as of 15th or 16th of August. So you will see the further incremental price increase impact flowing in Q2.
Right, sir. So my next question is regarding any new launches during Q1 or any Q2, Q3?
So we've had some new launches in Q1, but because that is lockdown quarter that was soft, we'll have much more new launches in Q2. Q1, we had about 13, you know, launches. But Q2, while I can't give it away, lighting is going to be one area of focus. So you'll see significant new launches.
Okay, so in Q1, you just mentioned 13
minutes. And sorry, you know, one more point to add there, because we split lighting separately. Illumination, which is where we've been driving high growth in lighting, we've had about 60 plus launches in Q1.
Okay, so any new launches in fan also, sir, out of 13, sir?
Yes, so 4 launches in fan in this.
Fan in, sir, which economy of the premium, sir?
Premium,
sir. Sir, my last question is regarding, sir, any market share gain in any products, sir, during the quarter?
So over on an aggregate market basis, with this 50%+ growth in CP, we've had a market share gain. Versus the top 3 or 4 players, I think we've all had market share gain. So amongst us, relatively, the story varies. But if you look at us, whether Bajaj or the top 3-4 players, versus aggregate industry growth, we've had market share gain.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rahul from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question. From what I recollect, between TLT, PD and projects, elimination projects is where the company had the highest margin. So I was slightly surprised when you said, that the company has, achieved break-even in elimination projects. Because I always thought this is where you make your maximum money. So that is one. And connected with that, I want to understand what is your plan on, achieving break-even in TLT and PD. PD, especially given the size of the orders, have reduced substantially. So I want your comments on elimination projects and then the plan of breaking even in the other two segments. Thank you.
Sure, Rahul. So on elimination, I don't know the past conversation, but since the time I've joined, which is November 2018, it has always been loss-making every quarter. Okay. And from what I know, at least for a couple of years prior to that, so it may have been profitable before that, it has been a loss contributor. So this is the first quarter we are near break-even. On a full-year basis, we will be positive on elimination. Last year, had it not been for COVID, we would have achieved that break-even last year. That's point one. Point two, on PD plan for break-even really is, it's hinged on phase three. We are expecting phase three. Phase three has to come in anytime in May or June. It's slightly delayed because the center has to sanction that and then the state will sanction that to us. Once phase three scope and quantum is confirmed, that should again happen. It's tough for me to give a commitment on behalf of the government, but we expect sometime in Q2, phase three should get confirmed. The scoping or quantum of that should get confirmed to us. Basis that, then we can realign our resources and organization to figure out what is the quantum and cost structure going forward on phase three. We believe this will be margin accretive phase three because operationally, we are carrying certain inventories and resources, et cetera, that will be put to use in phase three and therefore will be margin accretive. Without that phase three, then it will just require a faster relook at cost structures on this. So right now we have been in our, if I may say, no man's land till that gets crystallized. So that's really the outlook of visibility as to once we have phase three coming in for, and this is primarily UP, I'm talking about for power distribution business, then we'll, realign our business in operation cost structure to deliver that. That will be margin accretive. On power transmission, quite honestly, we'd have been positive now, except for the whole CapEx cycle having slowed down since last COVID last year. I think once that starts normalizing, we've been, maintaining an order book there. I think we are, we are close, not very far off from break even. When I say that, all our incremental projects in power transmission at a project level are positive. It's just because the total order book has been shy of the levels that we want. Certain fixed costs are not getting absorbed. As an order book grows even by another 100 to 200 crores, we believe power transmission in a business level will be positive. Right now, at the project level, this is positive. I want to highlight this again because this is different from the past where the project level, we were losing money on power transmission, either because, we were not executing them efficiently or they were not budgeted efficiently. So that has changed. So project level, we are positive. As we optimize the order book by another 100, 150 crores, we'll be positive on an aggregate basis. One thing we've not been doing is in the desperation to make business level positive, not being buying or, low bidding to get, negative margin, projects. So that doesn't really help. It just boosts the order book optically. So that's the only delta there.
Okay. That is very helpful. But, if I can just add over here, in each of these segments, what are the kind of margin that you are looking at, as a segment level margin, what are the kind of margin that you'll be comfortable in the elimination project or TLT and so on and so forth?
So, TD, power distribution and transmission, quite honestly, it will remain single digit margins and, mid to low single digit margins. Okay. But as long as we remain profitable, we want that to stop being a drag on the overall profitability of the company. Yeah. And we are fine with that because we're managing that on scale, and capital employed being, conservative and not being a drag. On the illumination, over 2-3 years, we'll endeavor to take that to double-digit margin. Our focus right now is two fronts. Number one, to turn it around to break even, which we are doing this year. Number two, to start building market share and rank. We were a number four player. Last year, we've gone from number four to number two. This year also in Q1, like I said, we've had very strong 100% growth if I look at this Illumination standalone on top line. So right now the focus is on fixing bottom line to positive and driving market share and rank growth. As that consolidates over the next 1-2 years, we will see that margin actually start going aspirationally to double digits also. And we very much think that is possible.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Achal from JM Financial. Please go ahead. Achal, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. My question was with respect to supply disruption. You know, how has been the supply in the last 3-4 months? And how do you see it, like you have mentioned in the past, in terms of maintaining the outsourcing and the in-house mix, any change in that side?
So, Achal, supply in terms of availability of finished goods or, you know, overall production capacities has not been a challenge now. In fact, because of last year's experience where stockouts and supply disruptions were there, we have been having a higher inventory norm, and therefore we exited March also at very high inventory levels. But internally, we had a, you know, we had a joke thing, kuch daag achhe hote hain, that in this case, you know, the issue or problem of having extra inventory has helped us in the last 1 or 2 months, number one. Number two, because you had high inventory, you have had, you know, low, what should I say, production capacity at our factory, some supply in the last 1 or 2 months. We're now seeing that from August to start getting back to normal levels of production, because now we're getting back to normal cycle of inventory and sales and therefore purchasing. But supply in terms of sourcing ability has not been a challenge. The only challenge on supply front has been one, either on commodity costs and therefore cost pressures, or on conductors and semiconductors, which goes into the LED thing. Otherwise, availability has not been so much of a challenge. Coming to in-house with outsource mix, our mix remains similar, so there's no change in strategy. You know, about 15 to 20% will be in-house, about 80% being outsourced. The other update there we've now got a new head of manufacturing. He's joined us last month. So our focus there is to not increase our total manufacturing footprint, but drive greater efficiencies on our manufacturing plants. And therefore, I again feel very confident that another couple of quarters, our efficiency of cost of production in-house and therefore margins on that by exit this year will start looking much better. In a way, that was part of my answer to somebody's earlier question on Starlight, etc. I think, you know, getting this fully in our control, now we are driving the manufacturing of Starlight with the new head, many initiatives being done there, TPM, etc. being rolled out. We believe Starlight will turn around sooner than later. Lastly, on that point, I'm sorry, I lost my thought on that. Yeah, we're also re-looking at, while the overall 20% may remain constant, the mix of products that we produce in-house versus outside. So that is something we continue to revisit. So that is where we'll drive greater efficiencies going forward there.
Understood. And one more question, you know, with respect to maybe R&D spend, any numbers we have in mind, where are we in FY21? How do you see it over the next 3-4 years? Same is the case with the AMP.
So R&D typically has been sub 1%. We will take that up to about 2%. In the next couple of years, that may hover at that. Before, after 2-3 years out, that will start falling back to closer to between 1 to 1.5%. And reason, like everything else, is because it will be front-loaded. As the products start hitting the market and the monetization starts, then that starts falling back to the between 1 to 1.5%. But, you know, this year or so, next 4 to 6 quarters, or 4 to 8 quarters, that will start inching closer to 2%.
And about the A&P?
A&P, which is advertising promotion. So there we've guided that will be plus minus 4.5%, between 4.5 to 5%. This quarter, because you had a one-month sales loss, that is at 4.7%. In a normal quarter, that may be 4.5% or between 4 to 4.5%. We'll play that quarter to quarter. Actually, you should look at that on an annualized basis, because that doesn't happen on an equitable or flat base, linear basis through the 4 quarters. That varies. So, for example, Q3 in absolute terms, that increases, etc. So that varies quarter on quarter, but the figures I'm talking about is more on an annualized basis.
Understood. I think that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ash.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. As we have no further questions from participants, I would like to hand the floor back to Mr. Vineet Shankar for closing comments.
Thank you, sir. Sir, would you like to make any closing remarks?
Yes, I would. I would just try to reassert what I said at the start. You know, we remain as confident as ever on where we are headed. Structurally, strategically, we are very much in the path, even in this quarter, even in the numbers that you see. But even operationally, from a short-term perspective, etc., we remain confident about the coming quarters and the full year, and we will deliver what we guided and promised.
Thank you, members of